Shannon Linton is a singer-songwriter based in Ontario, where she lives in a third-generation farm with her husband and kids. We talked about how she walked away from a career in opera, began writing her own songs when her kids were little, and how community and connection are the byproducts of her work.
Art, art, I want you. Art, you make it pretty hard not to. And my heart is trying hard here to follow you, but I can't always tell if I ought to.
I'm really curious, in your very first email to me, you said that the way I described myself sounded a lot like you. Do you love talking about this stuff as much as I do?
I do. I love talking about this stuff, but also I feel like I related. There was some rural background. Am I wrong about that? No.
Yep.
Yeah. So yep. I currently live in the house I grew up in, which is on my family's like fifth generation farm. Yeah, that was one thing. I'm trying to remember now all the different parts, but there was lots. Yes, I love talking about this. I have a weekly Substack that I send out that's not always about art and artists, but it is always about like process of what's informing the way I'm thinking about things or the way other people seem to be like inspiring how I understand, you know, my own thinking. And definitely, I think as you've said, or as one of your previous guests has said, like, that's a lot of why I write, because I'm like, that's how I figure out what I think and what I really feel about a certain situation.
Yeah, me too. That's songwriting for me is definitely a way for me to figure out what's going on in my head. It always has been. I think that's how I avoided therapy for a long time when I was younger.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Truly, right? Yeah, there's definitely that. I also, I actually studied opera and classical music in school. I didn't really know my path right away, but that, I mean, it was a great detour. And I even found there, even though I wasn't the one writing what I was singing, like being immersed in, you know, classic poetry and spending all your time trying to make beautiful words resonate with other people and trying to like tell stories, even if they weren't my story. I think that absolutely helped me at a time in my life when a lot of people were just focused on like, how are they going to get the career and the grades and the like the boyfriend and the whatever. And it's like, yes, all of that was there. But then I'd spend an hour every day practicing how to sing a Schubert song, you know, about spring.
No. And the act of singing itself is, you know, it helps settle down the nervous system. So that is also another another great thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, on your Bandcamp page, it says that you narrowly avoided a career in opera, and then you moved into recording music with a band and then solo. What made you turn away from that path?
I think I started down that path by accident. I know it was an accident that I ended up going into classical opera in the first place, because as a kid and as a teenager, I took voice lessons and I did like the RCM path. But honestly, I didn't know that I was like studying classical music. I was just singing and I was singing whatever. And I had no idea what I was doing. And so then I applied for universities and I didn't even like, I really did it last minute. I thought I was going to go into journalism or something like that. And I last minute switched course. So I didn't even explore that there was like, you know, college programs that were doing music theater or that you could do music industry arts or any of that stuff. I just was like, I need a university degree. And so I applied and was like, oh, we're doing opera, turns out. So it was a surprise that I landed there. But I loved it and I love a challenge. So I was happy to do it. But then as I finished my schooling, I realized like I was going to have to, well, as I was looking at master's programs, I was going to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to go probably to somewhere in the US to study something that like I didn't listen to when I was at home on my own. I didn't get excited about, except for when I was singing it. It was fun to sing, but it wasn't lighting up anywhere else. So I was like, maybe I don't go into debt like $100,000 to then be in a career I don't think I'm really that excited about. Then I just stepped back from that, but I didn't realize at the time that I would do my own writing. I was scared of, like, in retrospect, I know I was too scared to do that. So I I was also engaged. So I like got married, had babies. I was teaching. I loved all that. I was directing choirs. I loved all that. But it took me a while to finally let myself write. And it took sort of my mother-in-law died very young and very suddenly. And I really had one of those moments that people have where they're like, what the hell am I doing? Like, why am I not doing what I think would make me happy? Yeah. Why would I waste a day? Because you don't know how long you have, yo. So yeah, I turned away because I should have turned away. I shouldn't have been there in the first place, but it was a really cool learning path for me. And it made me, you know, a good teacher, and it made me really great at, but I really enjoy teaching choirs and things like that, which is another big piece of my life right now. So it was good.
Yeah. Well, I did much less than that in the classical field. I did take, you know, piano lessons for quite a while when I was a kid. And I think I got to grade 4 or 5 of Royal Conservatory. And right. Then I realized that similar to you, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't really enjoy this music. I just want to play rock and roll, or I just want to play folk music. I want to learn how to write. And what was great was that was a really wonderful basis for me to learn other instruments and get to know theory and, you know, develop my ear and that sort of thing. And made it a lot easier to accompany myself, I think, when I did start writing. But
yeah,
I ditched it at a much earlier age than you did.
Yeah.
And then got writing. But so it sounds like your life was really, really full by the time you were kind of coming to that, I need to write and I need to perform in a different way. How did you find the time to do that?
It was definitely gradual. I had two fairly young kids, and my husband's a farmer, so life can be really hectic and busy and full, as you said. So it was just in little grabs of time, and we had moved back. As I told you, I'm living like in my childhood home. We had moved back here and from Ottawa, where I had gone to school, and I reconnected with like a high school friend who I knew just played guitar like crazy. I didn't play guitar at the time. I didn't really, like, I probably had the same piano proficiency you're describing, so I didn't feel like I could just like do it myself. And we connected and started just once a week. I was like, once a week, I have band practice with Steve. And that was the thing that, like, my husband was very happy to, you know, make sure that the kids were doing whatever they needed to be doing so I could have a couple hours a week to do that. And it kind of started there. We actually mostly did cover songs for a while. And then once we got comfortable with each other, we were kind of like, well, here's a song I wrote. What do you think? And we just sort of tiptoed into it. But it was slow. It wasn't like all of a sudden an explosion of songs coming out. It was like getting comfortable and just dipping a toe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard a similar story from lots of different people. Another episode that will be out soon is from a local artist, Katie McGarry. She's a good friend of mine, and we were joking during our episode about how our origin stories were very similar, because we both started playing guitar around the same time as teenagers, the first thing that most people that I've talked to did, obviously, is play other people's songs, and then you learn and you get comfortable and you learn a bunch of tricks and how do songs work and how, you know, what's the difference between a bridge and a second chord? You know, there's just a whole bunch of things like that. So,
yeah. And I think, oh, sorry.
No,
yeah.
You keep going.
I think you also, if you're, or at least I also got a little bit like, it started to frustrate me enough that I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to bring out my own song. You know, like I started to just be like, but maybe this, you know, I still like playing covers. It's fun, but only doing that was just like not quite enough. It wasn't quite scratching the itch.
Yeah. So it sounds like pretty quickly, though, you did you join a band that was already going, or did you form a band with people, or did you get into solo playing right away, or all of that?
No, just a duo with as I said a guy named Steve who was a guitar player. So that was my first band, I guess. We were called Northern Hearts, and we played together for, I don't know, several years for sure, right up until COVID. So it was probably like 6 or 7 years that we played together, but in that very just like casual, we weren't at first, it was just for us to do something fun. And then slowly we started to be like, oh, maybe we'd like to record something, or maybe we'd like to try to play a festival or whatever. But we never pushed very far. And then COVID hit and we couldn't see each other for a large stretch of time. And particularly he and his wife both had high risk jobs. So he felt like very necessary to stay away for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And then he realized, like, which was obvious looking back, he's like super introverted. He just wanted to be making music in his basement, which he does now quite successfully. He makes like video game music, and he wasn't interested in continuing live. And so I started to learn how to play guitar at that point, because I was like, I want to keep doing this, and I don't want to have somebody else involved to be able to. I want to be able to do this myself, whether or not there's somebody else. So that's when I started doing solo. And now I kind of have different collections of musicians I play with, depending on the scenario. Sometimes I'll bring a band. I have a cover band that I'm part of. We're called Plainville United. And we do like three-part vocal harmony,
fun
full band covers of stuff. So yeah, just kind of a mix of things now.
Cool. What do you think the itch is that you're scratching with playing your own songs?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I have learned about myself. I don't think I would have known at first what the itch was, but I think now I would say I really get a big high out of connecting with an audience. And like, I talk a fair bit in my shows. I like small shows. I like to just fill a room with like 40 people and be able to see everybody's faces. And and like around here, because I live in a small community, I probably know half of those people, and we're like hugging and chatting after the show and everything. And so I think with my own, like telling my own stories or talking about, singing about things that I care about enough that I wrote a song about them. I think that is the itch. And I also think there's like something about a cover song. If I chose it, I probably know it really well. And it's probably, I don't probably usually perform it quite originally.
Mm-hmm.
The cover band that I'm in is great for that, because with three-part harmonies, we're always doing it differently than, like, you know, most songs are not arranged that way. So we bring our own thing to it. But when it's just me, I often find myself kind of just imitating the person who I heard doing it. And that doesn't feel as good as just doing your own thing.
Yeah. So community and connection, it seems like, are the themes there. And I found that with myself too. I think that's why I'm like Steve, I'm very introverted, and I can often go a long time in my own head, in my own house, all by myself. And I think when I was younger, that was a way for me to express myself and make sure that I was kind of known and seen, you know, because otherwise I wasn't very much. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, actually, that really resonates with me, being known and seen. I'm not particularly introverted, but I'm probably a half-half. But when I was young, I thought I was very extroverted, at least. I was very talkative, and I was happy to be around people. But I think I've also been, at least in my own mind, I think of myself as, when I think back, I'm like, I grew up on a farm in a rural community where there's a lot of farmers here, and it's like its own identity. And then I also was athletic. I played hockey and baseball all my life. And that was also my family is very, like, my parents were both very athletic. So there's an identity there. And I don't think I identified as a musician. I sang in choir and I sang in lessons, but that almost felt like just like a thing I did. And it was kind of weird, like didn't fit what I thought I was. And so I think that's also true. Like, being, even though I'm extroverted, if I didn't go out and do shows, I feel like people wouldn't really know who I am. People would know me, but they would think I was a hockey playing farmer.
Yeah. And actually, you saying that brings up something else for me. And that is that I grew up in a really big family. I have six siblings, three older sisters and an older brother. So there was a lot of like you know, they were doing what they were doing. And a lot of them were doing very traditional things. They were, you know, after high school, there was university and then there was a career and there was a, you know, a partner and a family and that sort of thing. Yeah. And I was number five in the family. So when I came along, I was, well, I always felt that I wanted to do something different than, yeah. you know, forge my own path and all of that. And none of them were singer-songwriters. although they were all musicians, they all played in the school band and that sort of thing. So there was always music, people making music around me. But I definitely wanted to do my own thing. And I think, I don't know why that became the thing, but that became the thing.
Yeah. Once you know it's the thing, you're in it. You're
Yeah. Did you ever, do you dabble in other forms of art?
Just also like prose writing, more of, yeah, I love to write. I really love to write. But I am pretty terrible at visual arts. I don't really live in that world. And I'm surrounded by friends who are visual artists. So I have beautiful art all around my house, but none of it is mine. Mm. And I think mostly just writing. Sometimes I think I'd like to try acting a bit more, but then I see actually my daughter is very into and very natural at acting, and I see her and I'm like, oh no, no, that I don't want to do that. Actually, that's not me at all. So, yeah, it's writing in a variety of forms is my other outlet.
Cool. When it comes to, writing, I know that you are going to release some singles this year.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to writing, especially to kind of publish and put out there in the world, do you ever think about, like, are you thinking about your audience when you're writing ever, or is it very much just a process of writing for yourself and then sharing it?
I am not, when I'm writing, I am not thinking about an audience. It's for me, for sure. It's like a little, like you said, sort of, it's like a little therapy session, or it's just a beautiful, like, release, you know, when it feels like it just feels really good to do it. So I try not to think about anything too much. And I am more guilty of trying, of having like an idea or a issue I want to speak on and trying to make myself write a song about that. Which usually goes very badly. It ends up sounding like I'm preaching at folks and I have to, those are never keepers. Yeah. Those songs where I try to like force something to be. So I try really to sit down and just like let whatever comes out come and then deal with later. I for sure think about an audience when I think about, is this something that I think is good enough to then share with people? Or is there, yeah. In a few instances, in a lot of instances, actually, I've struggled over the years with the fact that I do live in a small town surrounded by family. Like everybody around me is related to me somehow. And so some things feel either too personal or like I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or have somebody misinterpret something that like they're very close to the source. So I do think about an audience when it comes time to like make a set list. And I can sometimes probably censor myself a little because everybody here knows me. But when I'm writing, no, I don't think about them really at all.
What's been the biggest challenge of being a singer-songwriter?
I, as I said, just started teaching myself guitar during COVID. And I also am just sort of basically proficient at piano. So I am challenged in making the rest, all of the music interesting enough in my mind, like making it actually more than just me strumming the same patterns or whatever. So I've been really working on that to like be able to play at least one instrument to a level that I feel like I can actually put all of the ideas I have into the song. That's one for me, and one that I think I'm past now, but when I first started, because I had the opera background, I didn't sing like a singer-songwriter. I was like, what felt like good singing to me in my body was too big and too classical. So I had to like tone that down quite a bit and let that like just settle and become, you know, smaller in a way, to be honest, and mm-hmm. more just relaxed. So that was a big one for several years.
Yeah, yeah. I get both of those for sure. Because I'm not, you know, I play guitar since I was about 13 years old, but I've never been a, you know, well, I think about music differently when I play guitar. I don't think about theory and notes and that sort of thing. I just kind of learned basic chords and I learned enough. I basically just learned enough to play with myself. And it's totally different when I sit down at the piano because I see all of the, you know, all of the theory. But so that was a big challenge for me, too, was to feel like I was playing good enough to kind of keep up with what I was singing. Mm-hmm. And I also have a background in choral music. I did vocal classes all through high school and then did choral in university. So, yeah. So going from that to playing a folk song on a stage with a guitar, it's a very, very different style of singing.
Oh, yeah.
And it took me a while to find my voice, like the right zone to sing in and how to phrase words the right way or differently. And yeah.
I was singing with a mic. I don't know if you had that one.
Yeah.
I had never sung with a mic. Yeah. So getting used to that and trusting that and doing it enough that you're like, oh, yeah, it is going to do what I need it to do. Like, I really can trust this instrument to be part of my voice instead of being like, well, I'm going to send my voice all the way to the back of the room all by myself.
Yeah. And there's so much you can do with a mic, too, that you can't do when you're just belting it out, you know, from a stage, which is cool. Sure.
It is very cool. I really like it now. Like, now I wouldn't go back. I have certainly lost my classical chops and I'm okay with it because I don't want to do that anyway. And then I don't have to fight it. I don't have to fight it to like work with what I want to work with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What inspires you to write? What do you write about?
I write a lot about climate, actually. I'm a very active climate activist, I guess. I think it's really important that we be having that conversation in the public sphere often and in different ways. I'm not really I used to be sort of an alarm bell ringer about climate because nobody seemed to care. And now I feel like, no, the alarm bells are ringing. People understand that. And now I've moved into a different place of feeling more like I want us to talk about how we get through this, how we find solutions, what solutions look like, how good it could be if we could do this together. So that also ties into probably the other thing I read about a lot in different ways is like community and relationships, but not necessarily love stories, like, or not necessarily, you know, typical romantic love stories. They're in there. I have a few of those, but mostly, you know, about the way people treat one another or the way people engage with one another. It sounds very airy-fairy, but...
No, I get you. Yeah, I pretty much... People would ask me what I write about, and I'm always like, it's relationships between people. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating. It's the people coming and people going and the emotions of it and the, you know... which is really funny because I'm very reclusive.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm writing about them out there.
Yeah. But you're noticing.
Or me out there.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Noticing. That's a lot of what I feel as I've gotten more and more, you know, as the years have passed that I've been writing more and more and more. I'm so interested in things that I don't think everybody else is paying attention to all the time. I think writers are and artists are, but I'm like fascinated. I'll go for a walk. I walk around my house. It's the same roads or the same side roads I'm walking every day. And I'm still like, ooh, there's a mushroom. Like, ooh, look at the little fungus. And I'm like taking pictures of the little roadside flowers. And I'm just interested in what I see around me, including the people around me and like the relationships that I used to think, like, this is just mundane stuff. But now I realize this is not, first of all, daily stuff is life. Like, that is what makes up an entire life. But also, the way my life looks is not the same as everybody's because everybody is living a different thing. So the stories that I'm interested in are when people show me a sliver of the world they live in and the people in it. So I'm like, oh, well, here's mine. This is the world I'm in. These are the people around me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I think that's, yeah, what most artists are doing is they're noticing and then they're filtering that noticing through yeah. their own lives and then they're displaying it in different yeah. forms. Yeah. So if people are listening to this and they're thinking, wow, Shannon sounds really cool. Where can I find your music? How can I support this artist? What would you tell them?
I would tell them that I do have music on all the places you would stream things and on YouTube. I'm a big fan of Bandcamp, though, because that's definitely a major support system for artists, and they actually really care about artists getting paid for their music. So if you also care about that like I do, I tend to go buy an album from somebody that I really love, and then I'm still streaming them on Spotify because it's the easiest thing, but I've paid for that album, you know? So I am on Bandcamp under my name, Shannon Linton. And the other thing that I have actually stopped using social media this year. So I'm not you can find me on Instagram, but I'm not doing anything on there anymore. It's just like a page that lives there. But I do have a Substack called Joy Just Because. And I write there every week. And I write a little something prose, as I said, and then any show information or upcoming songs or whatever, I'll always like keep people updated there as well.
Cool. Awesome.
This was very fun. I really appreciate it that you were willing to take random email from halfway across the country.
Yeah, me too. Well, it feels like, yeah, we have a lot of parallels. And I hope that we can keep in touch. And I'm going to check out your Substack.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks. And I am subscribed here and listening, but hopefully our paths cross somehow.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Have a great day. Yeah, have a great day.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I wondered what would be the worth of my words in the world if I write them and then recite them. Are they worth being heard? Just because I like them, does that mean that I should mic them and see what might unfurl? And I think of the significance of my opinions here. Is it significant to be giving them? Does anybody care? Just because I'm into this, does that mean that I should live like it? And really, do I dare? If I make it, will someone take it and think that it's genuine? Would they be glad that I did, cause they got something good out of it? Would they leave me and be any more inspired? And I question the outcome of the outpouring of myself. If I tell everyone my stories, would this keep me healthy and well? Would it give me purpose and to this world some sort of service? Is it worth it? How could I tell? Pretty hard not to, and my heart is trying.